We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. I am Liz Dolan, here with my sister Leanne Dolan at the Wondery Studios in West Hollywood, California. Leanne, you were saying as you walked in that you're going to have, now that we're coming to a studio, you have to upgrade your wardrobe.
I don't even have any clothes for this level of engagement. You know, I'm usually at home by myself or else I'm like out speaking at a luncheon. You know, I have like a lot of silk blouses and pants with, you know, buckles. I don't need that here. I have nothing in between. I got to work on that. I got to work on my outfits, Liz.
All right. Well, we have a very special show today. Julie, by the way, Urban Nana is on assignment. So we'll hear from her in one ad, but that's it.
Julie, yeah, she's in Brooklyn and
she's doing her thing. She sent us this morning. She had just taken her granddaughter to a feminist coffee shop for the morning. So life in Brooklyn. She is loving that. Anyway, we have a couple of things coming up in the future, not on today's show, that we wanted to mention. First of all, you know, we have the big Stay Noisy event coming up on Sunday, March 18th at the Santa Monica Public Library. So it's a Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. For those of you that came to our event last year, you know that that theater at the Santa Monica Public Library is great. And we're going to have, it's Leanne and I and other special guests, and it's like a panel discussion and group discussion about what you can do in your life to make change in our community, because God knows we need it in all of our ways. So that's why our theme is Stay Noisy. We're going to talk about some of the things we've done in our lives where we think, okay, we're going to dig in and really speak up for ourselves now. So come to that Santa Monica event. And here's, we haven't announced previously, following the event at the library, there will be a meetup at Esther's Wine Bar, which, again, if you came last year, it's directly across the parking lot from the library. So park once, go to two events. They're both free. But I just want to ask this. Don't come only to the wine bar, okay? We really need you to show up for the event at the library because we want to hear from you, okay? So all of the information is on the Satellite Sisters Facebook page, okay? That's not the group. The page under events, you will see the details. And it's Sunday, March 18th. We're really looking
forward. In the afternoon, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Two
you can
o'clock.
Do it. The Olympics will be over by then. You're available.
All right. We'd also like to remind people that reviews and ratings really help us. So if you're an Apple Podcast or an Android listener, you know, please go ahead and rate and review Satellite Sisters. It helps people find our show.
You know, on the Facebook group, Gretchen, thank you so much. Gretchen organized a kind of review party. She reminded everyone that, like, the new Apple Podcast, it's super easy to rate and review. So she's out there beating the drum for us, Leanne.
Shout out to Gretchen.
We are grateful, Gretchen.
Thank you. Also, the store, Liz, it still exists.
Yes.
The store you created for the holidays. You know, there's a lot of events in the spring that you might need a You're the Best mug or Call Your Satellite Sisters, you know, phone cover. There are all kinds of showers and Mother's Day coming up, spring birthdays, all sorts of college reunions where you're getting together. All those items that we created for the Christmas store, well, that Liz created. Julie and I did nothing, but Liz created everything. They're still at the Satellite Sisters store.
Yes.
The best place to find that is just where? Satellite
You can either go to satellitesisters.com and you click on shop in the upper right-hand corner, or if you're on the Facebook page telling us you're going to come to the event, you can also see shop right there and you click through. And I would just like to remind you, your friends have birthdays every month of the year, right?
You don't
need to wait for a spot. There's always something coming up where you're going to want that You're the Best coffee mug. So you can check that out. One other special thing happening today is at the near the end of the show, we are being joined by Shanna Compton Game. She is the host of Millennial Money. So she's an award-winning millennial financial strategist, Leanne. And I know you're very excited about this because you're trying to get your millennials to develop a financial strategy.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about it. To our credit, as parents, like, we are talking about it, like how to get him off the family dole and onto his own financial plan. We actually had a meeting with an accountant as well. But I am excited to talk to Shauna about what really successful strategies looks like, both from the parent side and from the millennial side. Hey, I'm not down on millennials.
No,
they got
I know.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to get some answers on that.
Yeah. So Shauna's podcast on this is great. Her website is great. And she's going to talk to us today. So so there you have it. A lot going on.
Also on the show, Liz, of course, everyone wants an update on the dog.
The dog, yes. So. I have a lot of dog news, including rebranding the dog, okay. Liam.
Okay. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the Olympics. I have a new office, and I just want to encourage people to make a fresh start, get a new office. So I'm going to tell you about that as well. But once again, Liz, we have to start the show by talking about another terrible
mass shooting. I know. Listeners, you know how many times we have to say this out loud that we can't believe we have to say this again.
Yep.
It just is such a heartbreak. And this week, it struck me a little bit differently because I know that we have a member of our satellite sisterhood who is a member of the Parkland community and is a Parkland mom. And her name is Heather Hutchison. And if you are a member of the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, you know that Heather posts all the time.
She's active. And yeah, love hearing from her all the time.
We love you, Heather. And we've just been thinking about you so much this week. You know, going back, Heather and her husband actually came to Oregon to see us one time at like a school event that we were doing. You know,
it was nuts. They showed up from Florida to Bend, Oregon. That is not an easy trip.
Yes.
So
Heather had been posting in the aftermath of the killings, and I reached out to her on email and just said, Heather, what do you want us to say to the Satellite Sisterhood? Like, we don't even know what to say anymore because we've had to talk about this so often. So she wrote back to me, and she has a job for you, Sisterhood. So that's what I want to tell you about. So she wrote back. She said, thank you, Liz. I so appreciate the thoughts. It's just been a heart-wrenching week, to say the least. Just surreal. Also, at the same time, I find incredible strength in our kids, in our community, for sure. Yeah. Leaving the vigil, I turned and looked at my daughter, who is a graduate of the high school, by the way. I looked at my daughter and said, I don't know if it's because it's home, but this feels different. I'm praying that this country comes together and does something this time. I know that the kids here, mine included, will be forever changed by this tragedy. The shooter grew up two streets over from us.
Wow.
We were rated the safest city in Florida. It is mind-numbing to try and comprehend, and our little town is reeling. We delivered lunches to first responders Saturday, as it was their first shift back after the shooting, and they literally looked shell-shocked. The ripples of this will be felt well beyond our neighborhood and for years to come. So here's one of the things that she is working on. When the students go back to class, which is next week, they're collecting letters from the community to support them. So there are 3,000 kids at Douglas. And what they're trying to get is a note for every single one of those kids. So when they come back to school, they're handed a letter from someone saying, we are thinking of you. So Heather
has said, that's an amazing project and a fantastic idea.
It's amazing.
Yep.
So Heather has said, if you want to send a note to her to be part of these notes that will go to the students at Douglas, you can write what you want to write, and you can email it to her at parklandmomneveragain@gmail.com. That's parklandmomneveragain@gmail.com. And we'll put this in the show notes, by the way, so you don't have to remember that. And I just wanted to give you a feel. So she also included in her email back to me the letter that her daughter, Emily, wrote that is going to go in the packet that will go to one of the Stoneman Douglas students. And here are just a couple of excerpts from her daughter's letter. I mean, just, oh my God. So, dear Douglas student, my name is Emily and you don't know me, but I know you. I graduated from Stoneman Douglas in 2015, only 3 years ago. I am now at the University of Florida, 4 hours from home, our shared home. I loved high school, but I loved our high school even more. Teachers like Mr. Jeter, Mr. Kaur, Mrs. Edgar changed my entire life. And I know that you will have encountered your share of amazing, life-changing teachers, faculty members, and friends by the time you graduate. I just want to tell you that other than people currently at your school, you have 28 years worth of alumni all around the world behind you, hoping to build you up and support you to be the best you can be. I walked the same hallways that you walk now. I experienced puppy love and heartbreak, in stress. And the greatest times with my friends. That is all that high school should be. We learned, we explored, we discovered ourselves in a safe environment. That is all that high school should be. And Emily goes on some more, but I think you get the feel for what she is trying to communicate to the other students there. So, you know,
That really is all high school should be.
It is, of course.
Teachers, students, administrators should not worry about being killed when they go to school.
This isn't about politics or left or right or red or blue.
No.
This is what high school should be. And this is the experience we want kids to have. So to Emily and so many of the others there, of course, as Satellite Sisters, we would just say, stay noisy.
Yeah.
It's incredibly inspirational
to
hear you speaking up the way you have been.
Right. And they have every right to do that. And good for them. That email address is parklandmomneveragain.com if you want to send your
parklandmomneveragain@gmail.com.
Sorry. You know, Liz, to that end, I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with my friend who was in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas shooting.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah. So my good college friend was there. And I can't even go into the details. We sat down for the first time with her and she sort of took us through that night, what it was like. It was awful. Just awful. I won't even go into the details of what she experienced, but talk about life changing. And she said something that really got to me. She said, you know, I thought of those shootings and I would feel so bad for the families and the victims. But what I didn't realize was how many other people are affected by these shootings.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and now I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were thousands of people at that concert. Everyone was affected.
Yeah.
There were thousands of hotel workers in Las Vegas, the first responders. Imagine the nurses in the hospital with all those people. And we've seen this time and time again. And I think that's the ripples that Heather was talking about in her letter to us. And also maybe now why people, they can't be quiet anymore. They have to speak up because it is now thousands and thousands and thousands of ripples and people that are affected in various circles. Like, enough is enough.
Right. And, you know, as Emily and Heather both said, it's going to change them forever.
Right.
That's a lot of people
changed
forever.
And
not for the good.
Right. And my friend said the same thing. And, you know, Emily and Heather were in that community, but they weren't even there at that high school. So imagine if you were there that day.
Right.
I mean, even just watching the news of those kids running out of that high school, you
I couldn't watch any of that.
Can't forget the image of that. So I just applaud those kids for speaking up. I hope they do stay noisy. And this is not the environment that high school kids and high school teachers and high school administrators should have to walk into every day. You shouldn't be afraid for your life in high school.
In high school.
This is
high school is bad enough, right?
I mean, right.
High school is hard. No, I agree. So, yes, stay noisy, next gen. What you are doing is an inspiration to us. And we just want to send out our best to, you know, all of those Douglas students, everyone who is standing by those Douglas students. And as you say, Leanne, everyone like all over this country who has experienced one of these mass shootings and is just trying to like get over it and move on with their lives. So stay noisy. That's the best we're going to be able to do.
All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to switch topics. Leanne and Julie here.
We are back and we are shifting gears here. Leanne, I haven't been by your place, but I did see that you tweeted out a photo of your new office, which, you know, I mean, people should know you are not an organized person. So
okay.
So
where you're going with this?
No.
In the last 10 years, I've written 5 books.
No,
that's
true.
Produced like hundreds of podcasts.
Okay, I take it back.
Really?
You're
going with I'm not organized? Thanks, Liz. Thanks a lot.
I'm just saying, I've never seen you this super excited about a physical organization scheme that just seems to have really inspired you.
That's what I needed, Liz. You know, for the last 10 years, for the bulk of the last 10 years, I have worked in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And when I say that, that is writing 3 novels, you know, editing in a book, writing regular columns, producing hundreds of podcasts.
You're a highly productive
time.
Person,
thank you,
just
Liz.
In case I didn't make that clear.
No, you didn't make that clear. Okay. But I have worked in a small corner of the bedroom,
yes.
Like with a desk, and then in my closet. closet producing the podcast for 10 years, Liz. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
And I just finished my third novel and I realized, like, I am now spending 18 hours a day in a single room when my bedroom is a fine room.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have a lot of daylight because it's a bedroom.
Yeah.
And I just was ready for a change. I was no longer motivated to go like upstairs and do anything. You know, I'd just be sitting like on the couch with my laptop. I'm like, this isn't a healthy work environment either. So it's clear to me now my children are never coming home. That's fine.
Yes.
Brooks has moved out. He's gone. And so we had sort of turned his bedroom into a media room, you know, for the other son who's never coming home either.
So you claimed that space.
Well, I said to my husband, you know, maybe when we redo the floors, I'll move my office downstairs. Maybe I'll do that. And, that was just go time for my husband.
That's, you know, the way he rolls. Once he's on board, it's now.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leon here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leon, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros.
One Saturday morning, like 3 weeks ago, he woke up. He said, okay, let's do it. Let's move everything in the house so your office can be down there. And he was unrelenting, Liz. He's unrelenting. I mean, literally every closet changed. Everything changed. It resulted in just all sorts of reorg. But now I have a nice, big, light room. I have a couch. The couch you gave us?
Yeah.
Liz, that's there.
Nice.
Got my desk. We didn't have to buy any new furniture, but we did buy some new shades for the room, which was very exciting. Thank you, Shade Store. And then we bought some new rugs. We repainted. I have a blue and white office. He's tried to move in some old brown furniture. I said, no, my office is blue and white. Don't you put that brown armoire in here. That's leaving. So, and then I had to painfully go through all of my office supplies. And this is what reminded me of the Satellite Sisterhood, because when Disney shut us down,
yes.
Like when we left Disney.
We were at ABC Radio in a very nice office in a Disney building.
Yeah, but we were alone. We were like one tiny show in a building full of Disney Channel people.
Yeah.
So no one really cared like what happened to our stuff. So remember, I took all the office supplies home, not because I was stealing them.
I think the statute of limitations has run out on that.
It was just there was literally nowhere to put them.
Yeah, like,
nobody wanted them. No one from ABC Radio was like confiscating stuff. It was like, oh, I don't know. You might as well take them. So I have the space heater that Janine, our office manager, ordered. And I have what occurred to me now is I have literally a lifetime supply of Post-its.
Oh.
Because I had so many Post-its. In the last 10 years, I haven't even made a dent in the Post-its. And that kind of depressed me. I'm like, these are all the Post-its I'll ever need for the rest of my life in this box.
But consider it a challenge. Just post it up.
It's just really sort of made me face my own mortality. Like, wow, this is it. I'm also never going to need any more pushpins. Oh. I have pushpins for the rest of my life.
Lifetime supply.
And I don't know why I ever needed three hole punches, but I have those too. But so I really sort of had to face, like, what is the future coming? How much post-iting am I going to be doing? Do I need a whiteboard? What about this? What about that? So I'm actually pretty energized. So I would just suggest it to people. Clean slate, moving your office, changing things up a little bit. I mean, I know it's sort of a tried and true thing, but I'm very happy to be out of the closet. I'm very happy to be out of the closet and out of my bedroom. And it also means I can spend more time with my dog because, you know, my dog doesn't go upstairs. So she would just sit at the bottom of the stairs for 8 hours a day and look up at me while I was working. So she's super happy, too. She sits under my desk. It's a whole new me, Liz. I'm excited.
That's the photo that you tweeted was Steffi, your German Shepherd, sitting under your newly organized office under your desk.
Yeah. It looks even better now. Got some matching rugs this weekend. I got a new corkboard, Liz. Expanded my corkboard, so I got a nice big corkboard.
What goes on the corkboard?
You know, all my doodads and, you know, polywoggles and things like that. My memory board.
Paddywax.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a memory board? Yeah. You have a vision board?
No.
What are you visioning?
You know, it's just all those credentials that we've had from years.
Yeah.
I put those up there, pictures of me, us. Yeah, I got some Satellite Sisters memorabilia, those original buttons that say, what would you rather win, an Oscar or a Nobel Prize? I got one of those on my board, so I'll take a picture of that. I would like to
recommend. Okay, so you're encouraging everyone, clean slate.
Clean slate, fresh start.
Your workspace is,
it does matter.
Yeah.
You know, and it just gotten to be a downer.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time there. Who knows how productive I'll be now, Liz, even if I'm not organized.
Well, I say that as a person who is also not organized. So, you know, that's not a judgment. It's just an observation. Well, that's very exciting, Lee, and I am happy for you. Well, you know, the big change in my life. On last week's podcast episode, I mentioned that I was rushing out because the dog rescue lady was coming to my home to approve me to adopt a little dog that I had met on the Sunday at a dog adoption fair. And it was touch and go. You know, I love these dog rescue people, but you never know what they're really looking for and what will make them happy. Like, could you ever possibly be a good enough dog owner to satisfy just the love they have for these dogs that they have saved? And So she turned up and I passed. So I know there are many of you in the Facebook group that, like, all during the week and over the weekend, you were like, okay, so what's the latest? We're waiting. So I passed, and the dog who was named Hoover by the rescue organization became my dog. And it's been great. But I do need to admit that in the process, I had originally thought the name Hoover was super cute.
Yeah.
And I think it is kind of a cute name. But after he was in my life for a couple of days, yeah, Leanne, he's super fun, super upbeat.
That's what they said in the ad. He's an upbeat dog.
He's very upbeat, and most of all, he's playful.
Yeah.
You know, playful. And so I was thinking, Hoover is not really a name that describes a playful dog.
No.
So
he was a terrible president.
And head of the FBI, yeah, too.
Also just, not that good at that.
The only thing he does is hoover up his food.
Yeah,
he definitely does that. So we were romping, and I was thinking, well, okay, I need to rebrand him. Hoover is a downer.
Yeah.
Is there a name that starts with P for playful that would be good? Just as an inspiration. You know, you need a jumping off point for the brainstorming I was doing by myself with my dog. And I decided to use the P instead of the V, Leanne. This was the big idea. The breakthrough idea is he's now Hooper.
Oh, it's so cute.
Isn't that a fun name?
It's a fun name.
Okay, because the whole thing about the name is you're going to say it a lot.
A lot.
So it needs to be fun for you to say. I don't care what it means to anyone.
Right.
But Hooper.
Yeah.
Already we're hooping it up.
Yeah.
It's good.
Going out for some hoops.
Yeah.
Playing some hoops.
Hoop man. And it makes me laugh, especially because he's got, you know, short little legs.
Yeah.
So he's not exactly the jump man, you know. But anyway, so Hooper is the dog's name. And so far, so good. There are a couple of training issues we're going to have to work on. And the one who needs to be trained is me.
Always.
Okay, number one, Hooper is a chewer. Ferris never did that. So Hooper especially loves all the clothes I throw on the floor.
Yes.
Which I do. I may throw my clothes on the floor person. And Hooper is a chew the clothes on the floor canine.
Dog.
So I'm going to have to pull myself together and not have my clothes laying all over the floor. So that's the number one retraining for me. Number two, I walk in the front door of my home and the first thing I do is kick off my shoes, which means there's a huge pile of shoes by the front door.
Yeah.
And again, Hooper, chewer.
Yeah.
So he started really digging into the shoe supply there by the front door. So I'm going to have to retrain myself on what I do with my footwear once I kick it off. Because you can't train them to, okay, you can chew my flip-flops, but you can't chew my good shoes. It's an all or nothing at
it
all
is.
Scenario, right?
They don't appreciate the monetary difference between your drugstore flip-flops and your good boots. Yeah.
So Hooper and I are going to have to work on that, mainly me. And then the third thing, and again, a lot of this is you think your new dog is going to be just like your old dog and have the same instincts. Well, you know, Ferris was the only dog on the whole planet who was just not interested in food. Right?
Right.
He just really didn't. I could put his food down. It could sit there
all day
for
long. It's
4 hours.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I could walk into, I could put a plate of food down on my dining room table, go back into the kitchen, do a few more things, and come back and sit and eat my dinner. Not with the Hoopster. The other night, I put a plate of food down for some very nice chicken tikka masala I was enjoying while I was watching the Olympics. So I put the chicken tikka masala on the table. I go into the kitchen to get, I don't know, I needed a knife or something. I come back, gone.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So he's enjoying the Indian food. Apparently it's all food.
Yeah.
All food. So I'm going to have to retrain no leaving food alone out in the space that is it. He just jumped right up on the chair and had his snout in that in that nice chicken tikka masala.
Yummy.
And that came as a surprise. So that's where we are so far. The last thing that really is going to require some work, again, on both sides. There are good people on both sides here.
Yeah.
The separation anxiety.
Okay.
There's some barking and some whining when I leave the home. So I looked this all up, and what they teach you to do is you have to leave and come back a lot in the beginning so that they get used to the fact that you're always coming back. So I looked like a blithering idiot last week. Yeah. If you had like actually tracked my whereabouts, like I would be sitting at my desk for an hour and then I thought, oh, leave and come back. And I would just go outside for like 10 minutes, stand around and then walk back in. And I did that a lot. Every time I thought about it, leave and come back. So we seem to be getting a little bit better. I'm putting him in my bedroom when I go, which is like a bedroom, bathroom area, because I figure it smells the most like me. And that's what dogs want, right? They just want to know, are you really there? So I'm working on that.
I don't know. I don't know what dogs want. I mean, yesterday, Steffi ate an entire box of Girl Scout cookies while I was gone. So I guess that's what she wanted, a box of Do-si-dos.
So, yeah. So the separation anxiety also affects me, though, because last night I went out with some friends and the whole time, all I could think about was, oh, I hope he's okay. I hope he's not. Both okay for him and not barking so loudly that, you know, I've discussed some of my neighbor issues in the past. So I certainly don't want to inflame any situations in the building, shall we say. So that's where we are. So we're hooping it up. The dog's name is Hooper. It's been a week now. Super happy. He's very upbeat and fun, and I am very excited to have Hooper in my life. So thank you for everyone in the Facebook group that was wishing the best for me. I passed the test, and it's Hooper and me. Here
we
go.
Fantastic, Liz. That's great. It's great to have a little dog in your life.
It is.
It's great. It's great. All right. We are getting ready to talk millennial money with Shauna.
Yes.
Just a reminder, I am doing almost daily posts on the Olympics at my Facebook page, Leanne Dolan, and my author page. I got a little behind because I had other work to do and a birthday celebration last night.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for
that. I did text you first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, right? Text. Yeah. Julie. Only sister ringing in with a card. Only sister.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's on it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not even sure I have your mailing address. I knew I would see you today.
All right. But here's all you need to know about the Olympics. We should all be Norwegian because they just win everything. Whatever they're doing, we should do over the next 4 years. Whatever that country is doing, we got to get on that, the Norwegian train.
Yes.
That's it. But you can go to Leanne Dolan at Facebook and follow along with my daily posts there. All right. We're going to take a break, hear from some sponsors, and then we're going to welcome Shauna from Millennial Money. We're back. We're the Satellite Sisters, and so happy to welcome a guest into our studio. First, I like saying all those things because I can never have any guests in my closet. And it's just so much easier here at the Wondery Sunset Studios to have guests.
Our guest is Shauna Compton Game. She is the host of a great podcast called Millennial Money. It's also a website. She's an award-winning millennial financial strategist, certified financial planner, and author. And she talks about all kinds of pressing, burning money issues. So, Shauna, welcome to Satellite Sisters.
Thanks so much for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, we're excited. Leanne has some issues, and so we thought you would be
jumping right in with this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Can I ask one thing about millennials, though? Why do you think they have such a bad rap? Like, in terms of money and living in the basement? I mean, obviously, you are one. You're in touch with them. What would you want to say to people who are just negative on millennials all the time?
Well, full disclosure here, I'm on the verge of millennial Gen X.
Okay.
So I flip both ways.
Yeah.
So I'm in the older spectrum of millennial here.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, this is a really unique demographic that has grown up with technology. Mm-hmm. You know, everything has been done on their phone. Everything is remote. They text. They don't call. You know, it's a real kind of fast moving demographic. And so I think they expect the outside world, you know, once they get out of college, out of school, to be that same way, you know, to instantly graduate into a $100,000 job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to keep moving up and everything just to get better, you know, bigger house, bigger this, bigger car, bigger vacations. And but the other side of that is this is also the generation that is really tapped into wanting to create social change.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. there's a real kind of interesting push and pull, I think, that goes along with this demographic. But, you know.
You know what? I think they get a bad rap. And then I look at the millennials in our family, Lynn, your sons, like we have nieces and nephews.
Yeah, we also have millennials on the older edge and the younger edge.
And they are all awesome. Can I just say, like, the reputation that millennials are slackers? We have a super hardworking millennial generation in our family. So I want to stick up for them, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're not my millennials, but they're millennials.
Right. Right.
There are millennials, right?
Yeah.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right, so I have a 22-year-old son who just graduated from college, and he's going into a freelance career, which I know is its own issue. He's a photographer. But I have this conversation every day with parents, same age kids, like, How soon can we get them off the money train? You know, what is a reasonable expectation? And I know for some parents, it's the day you graduate, you're done. I put you through school. Now you're on your own. But they have loans. You know, we live in a very expensive market for housing. There's certain, you know, it's not easy to get a job. So when you think about it, Shauna, what is an actual reasonable expectation to get them off any kind of financial existence?
You know, I think the unfortunate answer is like asterisk mark, it depends.
Yeah.
Because it really does depend. You know, this is the generation with the largest amount of student loan debt. And, you know, the majority of, you know, younger millennials will roll out of college with $20,000, $30,000 plus of student loan debt without walking into a career where they're really even able to pay for that student loan debt, let alone anything else, let alone their car or their apartment or, you know, all the other stuff they like to do. And, you know, you put that on top of, you know, not teaching a generation how to figure out anything with their money. And I think it creates...
So that's our fault we did that? Our parents, I mean, us as parents.
You know, I'm not sure whose fault it is.
We did it.
You know.
But our parents didn't teach us either. Yeah. So
it's a whole...
But it's harder now.
It just keeps going. Yeah, it is. It is.
That's why podcasts like yours are useful, because they can hear the hard talk and it's not coming from their parents.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that most, you know, this is a symptom of most any young people, but especially it's demographic, because, you know, if they live in a city like New York or LA or Chicago or Miami, you know, any of those cities, you know, you need a really good income just to live. You know, we're not even talking about doing anything fun. So I think, you know, it's a strategy of, you know, teaching them about, you know, figuring out, like, what are your expenses? What do you absolutely have to pay? And then from that, okay, what are the things you like to do? Like, what do those things cost? And then let's work backwards into how much money do you actually make? You know, and I think showing especially younger millennials, you know, from the get-go of, let's just create a little schematic here and let's figure out, you know, what do we have to work with? Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's look at the reality of the situation. Obviously, we got to pay the stuff that we got to pay. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to pay our student loans. We got to pay our credit card payment or, you mm-hmm. know, all that sort of stuff. But then what's left over, you know, mm-hmm. and what can you do with that? You know?
I guess. And also understanding what your life really costs.
Yes.
That's the number one. Because when you mention, like, what do you do for fun? You know, that can get expensive.
Yeah.
And just all of the other things you don't think about, your car insurance or all of that.
It's the cell phone bill.
Yeah.
That gets really expensive.
So when you talk to your son about it, Leanne, like, are there particular, like, flashpoints or more difficult parts?
I have to say my husband's family, as opposed to our family, my husband's family is very good about talking about money. It is not emotional. They're very straightforward. Dollars and cents. My husband is an econ major. He deals in dollars and cents every day. So they're not uptight or weird or there's none of
the
that.
The way we are.
The way we are.
There's no stigma.
It's shocking to me, Liz, that families can have conversations about money where it doesn't get weird. So, but we did, you know, set him down. We already met with an accountant because he has a business structure. He may form an LLC. So some of it is tax stuff. But we're slowly weaning him off. And, you know, I have been freelance for a long time. So I'm trying to teach him the concept of pay the rent. Sometimes you just take the jobs to pay the rent.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it may not be a glamorous job, but this is, you work X number of days a month, you paid the rent. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you can move on. So I think we're having pretty straightforward conversations with him, but it just takes a while to build up a freelance career. And it's not like he's walking into a job with the regular salary, but most kids are. But it's that rent that's a real leap.
Yeah. And, you know, the statistics with the millennial generation are a big majority of them are entrepreneurial. They've had to go out, whether they've had
People forget that.
And so, you know, you don't have health insurance when you're entrepreneurial. You know, you don't have a company match with your 401k. You don't have a lot of perks that you might have, you know, at a corporate job, let alone just the ability to move up in your income. So, you know, you really have to figure stuff out. And, you know, you're right. The income can be all over the place. And sometimes it is just about, can I pay my rent and can I pay my student loan or whatever it may be, you know, and I have to live without all the other mm-hmm. stuff, unfortunately.
So flip to the other side. What do millennials ask you about most when it comes to those first couple of years out of college and trying to make it? Where are they sort of most shocked?
You know, the student loan thing is a big thing. So there's a lot of questions about, I mean, like, how do I balance my student loans with, you know, wanting to buy a house or starting a family or, you know, how do I manage that? I get a lot of questions, too, because I talk very openly on my podcast about couples and money. You know, whether you're just dating in a relationship or you're married, you know, how in the world do you figure that out and still stay married? Mm-hmm. You know, I get a ton of questions along that line because I think there's no manual for that. You know, and I think people already have all this stress and fear around money, and then they get married and they bring that into the relationship, and then you don't talk about it with your partner, and then, you know, everything just erupts and you almost can't back your way out of it, you know. And so
what do you recommend? Like, if you're dating someone, how soon do you start talking about issues? Like, what should you be doing? Sort of understanding your relative approaches to spending and budgeting? Is it as simple as that? Making sure that you're really open about that?
Yeah. And I think being able to have the freedom to have the conversation of, you know, and at least when you're dating, like, I don't have the income that you have, or this is what I make. So this is what I'm comfortable spending when we go out on dates, or, you know, when we're going on vacations. And I just can't go over that. But, you know, we've created a society where we don't really want to talk about money. You know, we'll talk about politics now, you know, we'll talk about sex with our friends, but we don't go hang out with our girlfriends and talk about money or how over budget we are or anything like that. So there's the stigma. And then, you know, you've got two people who have their own thoughts and views on money and maybe how they're raised. They're bringing that into the relationship. And, you know, they're not talking about, so they're bringing all of this into the relationship. And so I think it's just healthy to at least be able to have a conversation about money in, you know, an open way where there isn't shame.
Mm-hmm. How do you do with that, Leon, in the beginning with your husband? How did you get to the point where you can now, like, you can do it now, right?
Yeah, well,
but you've been dating for what?
25 years. It's taken me a long time. But again, because he was so open and honest in the beginning, I remember, like, our first conversations were, how much money do you make? Because we were dating long distance.
Yeah.
So, well, not for long, because we only had 17 days together, and then we got engaged.
Wow.
So, so expensive.
I got engaged in like 3 months, Shauna.
So expensive to date. We should just get married. I mean, these plane
tickets.
That'll
be way cheaper, right?
No, but he was very matter-of-fact about it. So it makes me a lot more matter-of-fact about it. And I think we actually have passed that down to our kids.
Because
my husband talks to them all the time. We used to make them. You know, if Barrick was paying the bills, they would sit at the table with him and he'd say, okay, here's how much our heating bill costs, just so you know. And here's how much this costs and here's how much that costs. So it's a number. It's not attached to any sort of emotion.
As opposed to, Shauna, when we were growing up, it was a big family. There are 8 kids in the family and our mom and dad. And I remember like the once a year where it would be tax time where my father would have my mother sign the joint tax return, and he would put his thumb over the part of the return that had how much money he made. So that was our training, Shauna. Not necessarily the best.
But that still happens. I mean, we still, you know, have a lot of listeners who are questions about, you know, they're hiding stuff from their spouse. And how do they even begin to have the conversation about that?
So what do you tell them to do in that case? You mean if they have debt or if they have
the
secret spending that they're doing?
Yeah, both. It's the secret spending, too. But a lot of times it's debt, you know, credit card debt or something like that, that they're really shameful about.
There's a lot of shame with that credit card debt. Yeah.
So I think it's just about taking baby steps. You know, you maybe don't have to like pull the whole curtain open all at once, but just having slow conversations about it and entering it into the relationship. And then the other person's responsibility is to be open as well to listening and realizing you're a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
And shaming you is not going to make it feel any better. It's not going to make the process go any better.
So you're married. How did you work that out? Did you and your husband come together with similar views of money, or did you have to find a place to talk about this and come to an agreement?
Yeah, so we were a little bit behind the eight ball. I talk about this on the podcast. We both come from being divorced. We're second time married. And with that comes its own plethora of challenges.
That's a whole other podcast.
That is a whole other podcast. Yes. And so, you know, I'm a certified financial planner. So obviously, when you get in a relationship with somebody like myself, you know you're probably going to talk about money more than you actually really want to talk about money.
Yeah.
You know, and so for it was from the beginning, it was like, okay, we're divorced. We come with this baggage. We come with this debt or, you know, whatever we're dealing with. And, but really, I always try to tell people to focus on, like, what are your goals? Like, what is it that you want your life to look like? And then how do you bring that money piece along with it? You know, rather than just
focusing
slowly.
That's very simple, but that's really good. That's my husband, again, has like 5-year plans, 10-year plans. I'm like, what? Or a 10-year plan? That's exactly what you're saying. What are your goals? Do you want to own a house? Right. Do you want to do this? Do you want to retire at 60?
What's the money for? Yeah. Answer that question.
Yeah. It's a,
yeah. Because everybody's
so smart and straightforward, Shauna. I can't believe it.
I try.
So what is your goal with Millennial Money? Why did you feel like you wanted to start a podcast and a website about it?
Yeah, I actually just sort of fell into podcasting. I teach financial literacy at a university here in LA.
Oh.
And about 3 years ago, I said to my students, like, hey, you know, I want to do more media projects with, you know, my money talks and the different things I write. What should I do? And they're like, oh, do a podcast. So I had no idea about podcasting at all, but started podcasting. And then, you know, we started to get listeners and featured on iTunes. And I thought, this is crazy. Like, we have listeners, you know, in 160 countries that are listening to me talk about money.
Isn't that great?
Predominantly, you know, a U.S. basic, uh-huh. Some of the topics are, you know, prevalent to the U.S., but just that people are that interested in having freedom around that subject and just having somebody, you know, I just try to be really honest and share the good stuff, the bad stuff, and everything in between. Because I think if we talk about all that, we realize how much more alike we are than different. And I think that might open the door for some people. But we cover all sorts of topics. You know, we sort of view this millennial thing as a lifestyle, you know. So whether it's we have a day where we do travel or we'll interview different millennials who are doing cool things. We have a Michelin star chefs and musicians and authors and just all sorts of people to share their stories. And I think that just helps bring the audience together. And again, makes it palatable to talk about this topic. That's
right.
Hard.
And it's not just about budgeting. It's really about what life do you want your money to help make for yourself?
Yes. And then how do you build that roadmap to make that happen? You know, what does that look like?
Well, thank you so much for helping us. So far, so good.
Yeah.
We may need to have you back on some of those other topics. We may need some counseling just for ourselves. Forget about those millennials.
Hey, I'm here for you anytime.
Like, you know, as you get later in life and you think, oh my God, this money has to last for the rest of my life. That's when things get super terrifying. So maybe next time, Shauna.
Yeah, I always say to 20-somethings, I always say the 20s are a great time to be poor.
Yes.
So don't, I mean, like, it's not
don't
good
put too
to
much
be
pressure
poor
on yourself.
In your 30s. That's not good. Or your 40s. But in your 20s, be poor. Be a little bit poor. That's okay, you know?
So embrace it.
That's my motto.
Not a certified financial planner.
No, certainly not. Shauna, thank you so much for being on Satellite Sisters.
And we'll have all the links in our show notes of how you can listen to Shauna's show and get to her website. Thank you for joining us. So here we are, Leanne. We're wrapping it up.
We are. We want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Molecule, all right, the new air purifier that I think Julie's going to marry.
Changing Julie's life.
Yeah, she's changing Julie's life. Okay. And Molecule is Molekule, molecule.com. Promo code SISTERS. We want to thank Beachbody On Demand. If you want to try out that online streaming system, you want to text SISTERS to 303030. And then Thrive Market. Thank you, thrivemarket.com. We really enjoy it. Thrivemarket.com, promo code SISTERS.
And we want to thank our engineer here in the studio, Sergio Enriquez. And remember, if you go to satellitesisters.com, all of our shows are there, like the complete archive, like whatever you want to find. There are like 744 shows there. I just actually had them numbered a couple of weeks ago. Did not do that by hand. Thought I needed to do that by hand, but then found, oh my God, the computer can do that for me. And so you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, and Spotify. I can see from the stats that some of you are starting to use the Spotify, which is enjoyable. Anyway, thanks so much for listening this week. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.